All right. So thank you so much for being part of this tonight. I'm excited to be able to share the word of God with you all. Some things that I've learned myself from this dear couple, and I'm praying that, it'll be something that you would be encouraged as well in the Lord. So let's just get right into it. So a model of oneness today in Aquila and Priscilla. I was just talking to my wife a little bit before about how many times Aquila and Priscilla is mentioned in the Bible. It's mentioned six times, as you see the scriptures there on your screen. And each of the times they're mentioned, they're never mentioned apart. They're always mentioned together. I believe four times Priscilla is mentioned first, and then Aquila two times is mentioned first. A lot of commentators have a lot of different things to say about why that's so, but suffice it to say that whenever you think of them, you think of them as a couple. You think of them as a unit, and that's what it's for tonight, to be able to share with you, a model of oneness. I believe that God's intention in Genesis was and is for man and woman to become one flesh in all aspects of life, especially in serving together for his purposes. And so, Adam received a mandate from God, right? It was to be fruitful, to multiply, to subdue the earth, to tend and cultivate the garden, and to keep his word. When we think about it that way, right? You think about how God asked Adam to be the governor, if you will, of earth. And he was the one that said it was not good for him to be alone. And he gave him this plan. He gave him these mandates, great responsibilities. And yet he created for him a helper, and that was Eve. And so together, they would be able to fulfill his purposes and work he had for them to do. As we think about this week coming up, we think it's Valentine's Day. We think of couples coming together. We think of husbands and wives. But we think about how the Word of God had created and instituted marriage, and how marriage was to be something to be enjoyed together as a husband and a wife. And that if we as believers, we as couples, see marriage in a way that God has given me a mandate, He's given us a mandate, He's given us a purpose in saving us. And that is to live for him, to glorify him, to be able to serve him and his people. And we can do that as singles without a doubt, and we can do that together. And so my goal today, in the study this evening, we will discover how a lovely Christian couple named Aquila and Priscilla understood God's purpose for them in marriage. Right? They understood that they had a calling. It wasn't not so much as an individual, but as a couple. And so they allowed their oneness to define their love for each other. They allowed their oneness to define their ministry and also to define the service to the Lord and his people. When you think about that, it's very intentional when you think about it, right? When people come together to get married, or when we realize how long we've been married, we forget sometimes. In the day-to-day and the busyness of life, we start to live separate lives. The enemy wants us isolated, right? But when we think that God has called us together, and that together we're able to serve the Lord in a way that honors him, and to serve to each other as husband and wife. I pray that these applications may apply not just to couples and married couples, but also to singles as well, because we want to be one with the Lord. And as we're one with him, we will also fulfill his purpose in our lives as we focus on that. So may we be encouraged and inspired to do the same as this dear couple. So we're going to look at a couple of aspects. Let's first get introduced to Aquila and Priscilla. So if you turn your Bibles to the book of Acts, please. The book of Acts, chapter 18, we're going to see where they're mentioned first, and then we're going to be taken through a journey through the Word of God to see how they just were one together, right? So Acts chapter 18, starting at verse 1, we're going to read verse 1, 2, and 3, but we'll focus on verse 1 and 2 for this first slide here. Acts 18, starting verse 1, says, "After these things, Paul departed from Athens and he went to Corinth. And he found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had commanded all the Jews to depart from Rome. And he came to them," that is Paul, "he came to them." Verse 3, "So because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them and worked, for by occupation they were tent makers." And so we find the Apostle Paul previously in some other places like Philippi and other areas. He was persecuted, thrown in jail, and now he comes over to Corinth. And we find, as we read a little bit more in the chapter, that the Lord wants him to stay here for a while. In fact, he wants him to stay for about a year or a year and a half. We'll get into those verses. But first, we're introduced here to Aquila and Priscilla. And the first thing we notice about them in verse 2 is that they encountered persecution and displacement early in their marriage as believers. Some people, when did Aquila and Priscilla come to know the Lord Jesus as Savior? Some may say that they got saved under the Apostle Paul when they were working with him. Some say that they were saved, or Aquila was saved under Peter. When Peter, on the day of Pentecost, gave his message of the gospel, we find that many were traveling to Jerusalem at that time, and people from Pontus came there as well. And perhaps people came and brought the gospel to that region, and Aquila may have gotten saved there. Suffice it to say that these two together encountered, first off, a little bit of suffering. A little bit of suffering, right? We find here that they were being displaced and they were exiled. They were exiled from their homeland, which we looked at, Pontus, Rome, by a decree from Emperor Claudius. He was not happy with the Christians there. And so at Rome, they were causing a big uproar. In fact, there's a quote here from Suetonius. The Roman historian Suetonius says, wrote that since the Jews constantly made disturbances at the instigation of Crestus, and some people believe that this is Christ, he, Claudius, expelled them from Rome. But here we find in the Word of God itself that they were expelled, if you will. It says, because Claudius had commanded all the Jews to depart from Rome. And this is why Aquila and Priscilla left Rome to go to Corinth. And so, right off the bat, we find that they also had to close and pack up their livelihood as tent makers and travel to Corinth. And so I want you and I to put ourselves into their shoes. Here they are, they have a business, they're tent makers, and it's a family business. They're perhaps doing very well. And all of a sudden, perhaps because of their own faith in the Lord Jesus, and because of Claudius did not like what was going on and causing this big uproar, he expelled a lot of the Jewish people from Rome. So just think about what's happening with Aquila, with Priscilla, and they're saying to themselves, what are we going to do? Where are we going to go? So together, they had to depend on one another, right? They had to realize that in the good times and in the bad times, we have to see what God wants and has for us. And so just a couple of quick verses here to encourage our hearts with. In 1 Peter 1, 6, it says, "In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while." And I always quote this verse because sometimes when we go through trials, we wonder what the Lord is doing in our lives. We wonder, is this from you, Lord? Is this something that you want to grow my faith in? Am I suffering because of what I've done wrong? Or is it because you want me to see more of your glory? You want me to see more of of your love and dependency, me being upon you, Lord God. And so, if need be, God allows certain things to happen to us as believers. And so I want to submit to you, brothers and sisters, that perhaps what was going on with Aquila and Priscilla is perhaps exactly what was going on also in the lives, perhaps, of Ananias, when Ananias was brought to Paul, when Philip, if you will, listened to the Holy Spirit, when he was asked to go along the chariot to the Ethiopian. You know, I want us to think that perhaps the Lord allowed this to happen because he had a plan for Aquila and Priscilla to be involved in ministry with Paul. Yes, they suffered. Yes, they were displaced. But remember how I started this, that God has a plan. God has a purpose for every one of us, wherever we are. If we're tent makers and we're working for the Lord, let's be content there. But if something happens to us, if we're displaced, if we're ruffled, that's also, we pray, that it's God's plan. Because in Ecclesiastes 4:9 says this, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him. So right on the onset, in verse 2 of Acts chapter 18, where we're introduced, we find this couple who travels from Rome down to Corinth. I'll do that real quick again so we can see the red line there. So it's from Rome, they travel to Corinth. So just imagine, I mean, this was probably, you know, that red line went pretty quick there. They had to go all around the peninsula, they had to travel with all their belongings, but they find themselves at Corinth, where the Apostle Paul is. So verse 3 says, so because he was of the same trade, this is Aquila, because Aquila was of the same trade, he, Paul, in verse 3 of Acts 18, he stayed with them and worked, for by occupation they were tent makers. So the first thing we saw is that Aquila and Priscilla were one in suffering. They were exiled. They were displaced. They had to move their business. They had to move their belongings. But they find themselves here now. Now, notice a couple of things about Aquila and Priscilla's character and about their work ethic. Aquila and Priscilla were diligent and hard workers in their trade as tent makers. Why do I come up to that conclusion? Take a look at verse 2 again. For it says that he had recently come from Italy. So the fact that they immediately set up shop, if you will, right? They didn't mess around. They realize that they were displaced, they're coming to a new region, they're coming to a new place, and they said, Lord God, if this is where you want us to be, then we're going to set up shop and we're going to do the best we can for you. And so much so that their skill and their craftsmanship were probably well spoken of throughout Corinth, as there was need for mending sails and building tents for the Isthmian Games. This is from a commentator, Hawk. But there was a lot going on there, a lot of commerce, a lot of sailboats, a lot of different things going on. And so their skill and craftsmanship were probably well spoken of. Now, why do I say that? Because it says that the Apostle Paul found them. He says they found a certain Jew named Aquila. So, had Paul heard about Aquila and Priscilla's quality of work and honest business practices? Could it be that this couple who wanted to be a testimony for the Lord, they immediately set up shop, they immediately worked together, and perhaps as they did their tent making, as they did quality work, as they were honest in their business and in their prices. Now, we know the Apostle Paul, when he goes somewhere, what does he do? He goes into the synagogues and he looks out for people and he's very pensive and he's very attentive. So perhaps he looked for and found this brother Aquila with his dear wife Aquila, Priscilla. And so I find in here that whatever you put your hands to do, whatever we put our hands to do, we do it to the best of our ability, that it shines for the Lord. Whatever you do for the Lord, do wholeheartedly as unto him and not unto man. And I believe this couple, even though they went through hardship, they came to this place to make a name for themselves, not for pride's sake, but for quality's sake. And look what happened. The Lord brought Aquila and Priscilla together with the Apostle Paul. And the Apostle Paul then, it says he stayed with them. He stayed with them. Look at verse 3. He stayed with them and worked, for by occupation they were tent makers. Skip down to verse 9, please, of Acts 18. Look what it says here. Now the Lord spoke to Paul in the night by a vision. Do not be afraid, but speak, and do not keep silent, for I am with you. Right? What an encouragement to the Apostle Paul, because again, he's been having a lot of different, you know, persecutions along the way as he's come to Corinth. And then he says, no one will attack you to hurt you, for I have many people in this city. Verse 11. And he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. So we find here that the Apostle Paul stayed with Aquila and Priscilla. He stayed there 1 year and a half, encouraging, discipling, teaching, setting up this church. And so not only were they one in their secular occupation, but they were also one in their hospitality. They saw that they had a kindred spirit with Paul, not only because of they were tent makers, but because they were believers in the Lord, and they were of one heart, and they agreed as husband and wife to allow Paul to come into their house and into their home. This was something that they were very comfortable doing. This was something that they wanted to do for the Apostle Paul and for the Lord. So they were one in their hospitality. As we move along, we find here that they were also one in their missionary work. As you start to see now what's happening in this church at Corinth, there's a lot going on here. The Apostle Paul has been blessed by the Lord. No one's going to trouble you. I have many people here, he says. You have someone to take care of you. I brought Aquila and Priscilla, and they're going to take care of you. They're going to, you know, house you. So you go ahead, Paul, preach and build up the saints, right? So look at verse 18 of chapter 18, 18 through 21, we find here. So Paul remained a good while. Then he took leave of the brethren and sailed for Syria. And Priscilla and Aquila were with him. He had his hair cut off at Centria, for he had taken a vow. Verse 19. He came to Ephesus and left them there. Note that. He left them there. But he himself entered the synagogue, which was in Ephesus, and reasoned with the Jews. The ship had not taken, has not departed yet. But then verse 20 says, when they asked him to stay a longer time with them, he did not consent, but took leave of them. There it is again, those that he left behind, Aquila and Priscilla, left them behind in Ephesus, saying, I must by all means keep this coming feast in Jerusalem. So what's happening now is you start to see the lot of dynamic things, open doors are happening with Aquila and Priscilla, this dear couple who are hanging on and trusting the Lord and really leaning on one another, seeing that there's a clear purpose, there's a clear path to what the Lord wants them to do. And they are obedient and humble in serving the Lord by serving his servant, Paul, housing him. But now, for a year and a half, they've been schooled with Paul. They've seen his teaching. They just imagine the Bible studies they were having in their home with the Apostle Paul, teaching them all the things that the Lord Jesus had revealed to him. So what's the first thing we notice here? So Priscilla and Aquila, already funding through their tent making and meeting the needs through hospitality of the Apostle Paul, were also active partners with him in his ministry. Where? At Corinth, right? At Corinth, through teaching and encouraging and shepherding. So I want you and I to just imagine for a year and a half what they've been doing. So they're supporting Paul. They're still doing tent making, and Paul is preaching. Paul's still staying with them. They're showing hospitality, but through it all, they're partnering with him, right? They're seeing him work. They're seeing how he teaches and how he ministers and how he loves the brethren here in Corinth. And we, as we know, Corinth was not, when he wrote the letter back to them, they were, not following his ways. There were factions, a lot of things going on. They came from a life of adultery and a lot of lasciviousness, but they were truly, truly saved. They were called saints, right? So this next bullet is interesting too. It says, for a year and a half, Paul labored with this dear couple. He saw their gifts develop and asked them to accompany him to Ephesus. Think about that. He asked them to come, and they immediately counted the cost and agreed to go. So they had a little history, an experience leaving Rome, going to Corinth. They understood what it was like to be quick, pack, and go. But they have now, Paul saw their zeal, their love, their labor. He saw the gifts, probably of encouragement, of teaching, of hospitality, right? So I'm going to Ephesus, and they went with him. And just a note here for ministers, husbands and wives ministers. It's so important, as you well know, as you're ministering, to have the support of your wife and to have the support of your husband. Wherever you're called, it's so important to be one working for the Lord. Not only that, but you're not going into the mission field, right, without the work that you've put in already, and whether it's your home assembly, or whether it's, being trained. When I think of Aquila and Priscilla, I see these things happening in their lives. They were active. They were working. And when it was time for them to move on, perhaps somewhere else like Ephesus, another work, they were ready to go. And I'm sure they prayed about it together, because it says in verse 18, it says, then he took the leave of the brethren and sailed for Syria, and Priscilla and Aquila were with him. This next bullet says this. While at Ephesus, the Apostle Paul saw the need to further stabilize the saints. So he left Aquila and Priscilla behind because they proved themselves. They proved themselves faithful as he set for Jerusalem. Think about the Apostle Paul as he talks throughout Scripture. I'm thinking of the Thessalonians when he says he calls him dear children, right? He loves the brethren. It's night and day he prays for them as he goes from church to church. For him to take a couple and to say, they're in your hands now. I'm leaving to Jerusalem, but I want you to stay behind. I've seen your work. I've seen your faithfulness. I see your gifts. So I want you to stay behind, and I want you to continue the work here while I'm away in Ephesus, leaving Ephesus. And he left them there. So I find great, great encouragement in this. What an example they are. And so what else do we find here then? We saw that they traveled from Rome to Corinth, and now they're moving from Corinth to Ephesus, right? They're now in Ephesus. And so what happens here now? We're still in Acts 18. Let's move down, please, to verse 24. Acts 18, verse 24, it says, now a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things of the Lord, though he knew only the baptism of John. Now, that's very interesting. Verse 26. So he began to speak boldly in the synagogue at Ephesus. When Aquila and Priscilla heard him, they were there. When they heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. And having done so, verse 27, and when he desired to cross to Achaia, the brethren wrote commendation letters, exhorting the disciples to receive him. And when he arrived, notice, he greatly helped those who had believed through grace. Aquila and Priscilla had a part in that. For he vigorously refuted the Jews publicly, showing from the scriptures that Jesus is the Messiah. He is the Christ. So here is another fascinating, you know, picture, snippet of the life of Aquila and Priscilla. So many facets, and yet here they are also one in their knowledge of scripture. So this first thing is that the Apollos is an eloquent man. He was mighty in the Old Testament scriptures, and he visited Ephesus and spoke at the local synagogue. It says he was a mighty man, right? Verse 24. He had been instructed, verse 25, of the way of the Lord. He was fervent, but he only knew the baptism of John. And so, while ministering to the saints in Ephesus, Aquila and Priscilla often attended the synagogue to share the gospel. That's proof point is that when Apollos went, they were there. This time, they heard Apollos speak. Now, what I find fascinating here, brothers and sisters, is such a great encouragement to me as well in their lives, something that we all can ask the Lord for as single people, as young people, married people, doesn't matter. This applies to all. And that is this. Priscilla and Aquila, in concert with the teachings of Paul, developed spiritual discernment regarding foundational Christian doctrines. You could just notice that when they heard Apollos speak, they must have been greatly, greatly encouraged to see this man proclaimed, like they probably reminded him of Paul when he went into the synagogue. But yet there was something off, right? There was something off in his understanding, right? And so, again, in concert with Paul's teaching, the fact that they were with him a year and a half, the fact that they ministered with him, the fact that that Paul left them at Ephesus, they were able to do some shepherding. They were able to do more hospitality, right? This is what's happening in their lives. And yet, the two of them noticed something. And that, as you know, is in the last part of verse 25. So, verse 26 says this, of Acts 18. So he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Aquila and Priscilla heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. There's a lot of things going on here. And our creative minds, right? How did they do it? Did they do it in the synagogue? Did they just take him aside? Did they, you know, a lot of brothers, commentators say, you know, there's a lot to be said for Apollos to be able to be humble enough, right, to be able to be teachable. Here he is, powerful preaching, and yet he was able to listen and to hear more explanation concerning the Lord from Aquila and Priscilla. And so what I believe is that they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. So I believe, as many people also and some commentators, is that they took him home for Sunday lunch. They took him home Isn't that just like them? Isn't that just like their spirit? As we're getting to see a little bit more about them, how they took him aside. You could just see them saying, "Oh, Brother Paulus, wonderful. Thank you for the word. Please come on over for lunch." And so they're used to their hospitality. They're used to having people over. And so in the graciousness in the home, you can just see them having a Bible study and then bringing him up a little bit more about what was failing in his understanding of the gospel and of the Lord Jesus, because all he knew at that point was the baptism of John. Now, let me share something pretty interesting with you here. As you know, the Bible was not written with chapters and things like that. But if we continue in chapter 19, it says, "As and it happened." Follow with me here. "And it happened," chapter 19 of Acts, "and it happened while Apollos was at Corinth." Okay, so what happened here? He left Ephesus and he went to Corinth. And so watch what happens here. It says that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came back to Ephesus. And he found some disciples. This is Paul now finding disciples in Ephesus. Now, we would imagine, again, that this it's not dogmatic here, but just our imagination can say that before Apollos went to the synagogue, if you go back to Acts 18, it says, verse 24, Acts 18, 24, it says, "An eloquent man, a mighty man in the scriptures came to Ephesus. And then he came to the synagogue," right, in verse 26. So you can imagine he was probably preaching and telling a lot of people in the region of Ephesus about the Lord. And maybe, perhaps, Paul ran into these people. He ran into these believers. Now, why do I make that connection? Watch this. "He found some disciples," verse 1, look at verse 2 of chapter 19. "He said to them, 'Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?' So they said to him, 'We have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit.'" These are the brothers from Ephesus. Verse 3, "He," Paul, "said to them, 'Into what then were you baptized?' And they said, 'Into John's baptism.'" That's where I think the connection is, because the apostle Apollos only knew the baptism of John. And Paul, Apollos was in Ephesus. Paul finds these believers in Ephesus. They didn't hear about the Holy Spirit, and they were only baptized in the baptism of John. So this next verse, brothers and sisters, blew me away when I looked at it. Now watch this. What did Aquila and Priscilla tell Apollos? Because Paul and Aquila and Priscilla were such in concert, because they learned together. Aquila and Priscilla learned from the Apostle Paul in the year and a half about the Lord. What we're about to read in verse 4 is probably exactly what Aquila and Priscilla said to Apollos. And what did he say, verse 4? "Then Paul said, 'John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus.' When they heard this," verse 5, "they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus." Not only in the baptism of John, but now baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus. So I would assume, right, that Aquila and Priscilla took that verbatim, if you will, verse 4, and says, "Oh, wait a minute. You did great, Apollos. Wonderful. But let us help you, bring you up to speed," if you will, of what has happened since the understanding of John and being his disciple, that he baptized up to repentance, but we were to ultimately believe on the Messiah, the Christ, the Lord Jesus. And so I find that pretty fascinating, that perhaps this is what they did. So this couple were one in scripture knowledge. And what a great encouragement that is, that a sister in the Lord and a brother in the Lord, having understanding of the scriptures, could take a brother aside and be able to share with them the word of God. You know, there's so many sisters who read God's word and know God's word to some embarrassment, more than the brothers and more even than husbands. And they are more than able and capable to teach and to encourage. But it is in that sphere that God allows for them to flourish. whether it's sister to sister or to children, and even here, whether your husband teaching even a man within that environment, within the home. So I think, again, they were one in the scriptures. So what do we find here next? So we found them, you know, traveling from Rome to Corinth, and then from Corinth to Ephesus. But then we find them going to Rome, back to their home thing, you know, back where they started, where they lived. And so where do we find that in scripture where Aquila and Priscilla left Ephesus and found themselves in Rome? So we're done with our reading in the book of Acts. So what I want to do, if you can turn, please, to the book of Romans for a second, please. Book of Romans. We're going to go to Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16 is the last chapter of Romans. We find Paul is about to give his, you know, his greetings. And we find that the letter perhaps was given to this sister Phoebe, who he's commending to this church here. But let's read the first five verses of Romans 16, please. Verse 1 says, I commend to you Phoebe, our sister, who is a servant of the church in Centuria. Verse 2, that you may receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints, and assist her in whatever business she has need of you, for indeed she has been a helper of many, and myself also. And he's about to get into his greetings, the first people that he wants to greet. Now, this is Rome now. He's writing to the church in Rome, and he's saying in verse 3, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus. Now we got a little more detail, not a lot of detail, but something happened here. Look at verse 4. Greet them because, or who risked their own necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Oh, how they loved hospitality. They loved hospitality. We find now they're no longer in Ephesus. We're fine now they're in Rome. Paul writes to them in Rome, and he's telling, as he delivers this letter, to say hello to Priscilla and Aquila, and then he names a couple of different things. So here in this first bullet, I have Paul's letter to the church at Rome was read, or probably read, to the saints gathered in the home of Priscilla and Aquila. Think about that, right? What a great encouragement that is. A church that is meeting in their house. And this epistle, this treatise of the Apostle Paul being read in a home assembly. I just think that's pretty wonderful. Now watch this. Not only did he say greet them, but he says they did something. By God's divine intervention, this godly couple preserved the word of God for the church. Now this is my conclusion, so I'm just sharing what the Lord shared with me, so I want to share this with you. Right? So by God's divine intervention, this godly couple preserved the word of God for the church by risking their own necks or lives for the life of Paul. Now, what do I mean by that, right? What do I mean by they preserved the word of God by risking their own necks for the life of Paul? Now I'm not being exaggerated here. Look at verse 4 again. It says, who risk their own necks for my life. What happened that Aquila and Priscilla was at a crossroads with the Apostle Paul, that they put their lives on the line for him? So this next bullet here, I have here, because of their heroism, Paul's life was preserved and extended. Again, this is my application, because, you know, if Paul's life would have ended when this happened, Who knows obviously it's all in the Lord's will. But we're seeing this in real time. We're seeing this thanks from the Apostle Paul in reality, right? He's saying, I'm thanking them because they risked their lives. So because of their heroism, his life was preserved and extended to continue to serve the church and write the scriptures. Therefore, in light of that, not only is Paul thankful, but all the churches of the Gentiles give them thanks. That's what he says. Look at verse 5. Likewise, I'm sorry, verse 4 at the end, but also all the churches. It's almost brothers and sisters, thank Aquila and Priscilla. Be thankful for them because they risked their lives for my life. It doesn't say, we don't have the details of what happened. All we know is that they were willing. They were willing to give their lives for the cause of Christ, but also for the servant of the Lord. They knew that Paul had a mission and a purpose, and yet they did whatever they had to do. It was dangerous, whatever they did, right? Again, calculated between husband and wife, praying together, being one in this decision to say, well, did Aquila just do it or did Priscilla just do it? It says they risked their lives for me. And so because of that, the churches of the Gentiles should be thankful, as I am thankful. Not only so, but greet the church that is in their house. Greet the church that is in their house. And so we find here that again, just a great encouragement. So what happens here now? We find they're doing a lot of traveling. So not only that they go from Ephesus to Rome, but we find that from Rome, they went back to Ephesus. I believe they did. And we'll look at some of these scriptures. I'm sure maybe in the Q&A we can talk about that, but this is what I see from scripture, that from Rome, while they were there, having a house church, or the church met in their house at Rome, we find that they came back to Ephesus. And how do we know that? Let's look at a few verses here. First Corinthians now. Let's go to First Corinthians. That's just the next book over, and we're almost done with our study. First Corinthians and chapter 16. First Corinthians chapter 16. And let's look together at verse 19 here again. Now, what's happening? Paul now is at Ephesus, and Aquila and Priscilla are with him, right? And now he's writing to the church where he met them at the beginning. He's writing to the Corinthians. And at the end of this letter, he says in verse 19, he says, the churches in Asia greet you. This is where I am. I'm in Ephesus, right? And he says, they greet you. Aquila and Priscilla greet you heartily in the Lord with the church that is in their house. They have a house church in Rome. They have a house church at Ephesus. So Paul now in Ephesus writes to the church of Corinth, where he spent a year and a half ministering to the saints. And he says, the churches of Asia greet you Corinthians, but also Aquila and Priscilla greet you heartily. Now, why heartily? Because they were there. They went from Rome to Corinth. They set up shop. They were tent makers. They met Paul. They stayed a year and a half. And now Paul's writing and saying, hey, I want you to know that Aquila and Priscilla, they didn't forget about you. They heartily say hello. So it was here at Corinth that he, Paul, first met Aquila and Priscilla and worked with them in tent making, and he stayed in their home. Here, Paul sends his greetings from the saints in Ephesus, and especially from Aquila and Priscilla, with a wholeheartedly greeting from them and the church that is in their house. Again, pretty cool. It's pretty interesting to see all of these references, and every reference we're reading from Aquila and Priscilla, we just see in them a passion. A focus. We see a life of surrender. We see excitement. We see, all in, right? So much so that they were persecuted. They came and met Paul. They were taught by him. They were given responsibility to stay with those in Ephesus. They helped the Apollos. Every time we read about them, there's something good happening, right? They are sharing their love. They are sharing their experiences. They are sharing their knowledge of the Lord and the scriptures, their discernment, their discipling, right? These are brothers and sisters and a godly couple that we want to emulate, that we want to be like. And I think this is the last reference here in 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. So let's turn there in our Bibles, please. The last reference of Aquila and Priscilla. And notice that this is the last letter that Paul wrote. He wrote it to Timothy. And where was Timothy? Timothy was an elder and shepherding at Ephesus. And so we go to 2 Timothy. This is before, you know, he starts to say things like verse 6 of chapter 4, I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. He's at Rome when he wrote this to Timothy, and Timothy was in Ephesus. And he's in chains now. He no longer has the freedom that he had the first time he was at Rome. But verse 7 says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Verse 8, finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. So we're getting the sense that this is Paul's last words to Timothy. He's about to be beheaded. He's about to go for the things, you know, for the Lord, right? And he's saying how different people forsook him, right? And so he's starting to say how people, you know, did him evil in verse 14, like Alexander, the coppersmith. But verse 17, he says, but the Lord was with me through this all. Right? He strengthened me, the Lord, so that the message might be preached fully through me and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, and the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me from his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. But he's not done here. Even at this last letter, he has an endearment. He has a remembrance, a fond love for Priscilla and Aquila. He calls her Prisca, verse 19 of chapter 4 of 2 Timothy. Greet Prisca and Aquila and the household of Onesiphorus. You know, greet my friends. Think about what he was about to encounter, where he was about to go. He knew this was it. This was his time. And yet he can recall this dear couple. And he wants to say, Timothy, greet them. Say hello to them. I want them to know that I'm still thinking about them. I want them to know how thankful I am. My work is finished, but they had a great part in the ministry that I was involved and involved with. So six times they're mentioned in the Bible. Six times they're mentioned, never apart. It's always Aquila or Priscilla or Priscilla or Aquila. We find that every time we mention them, they're active, they are serving. And so, you know, I pray that some of these applications and things in their lives are something that we could want to be like. This is my last slide, and I just want to say a couple of quick things. I pray you were encouraged to learn about this lovely couple, as I was, right? And my question to you is, do you know of any Aquilas and Priscillas in your life? Right? Think of the people who have made an impact on your life. Think about them, and you would tend to say that you, when you mention them in your mind or in your heart, you don't mention them individually. You mentioned them together. You know, have they been encouragement to you and in your growth in the Lord? I have my Aquilas and Priscillas. And mine are just, you know, these are just a few, but there's so many more. I have Steve and Nancy. I can't think of Steve Holshizer without thinking of Nancy. I can't. They were my mentors. They were, I call them mom and dad. I just love them to death. They were a big part of my life and my growing up. And when I think of them, I think of Steve and Nancy. I also think of Bob and Carolyn Gessner. Can't think of Bob without Carolyn. I think of Bob and Carolyn. Because I see what they poured into our lives at Greenwood. I saw how they poured their lives with Steve and Nancy as well. And it goes on with Michelle and Tom. I mean, this is mine, right? These are my Aquilas and Priscillas. Who are yours? And I want to encourage my brother Bruce and Amy because a church meets at their house, right? I can't think of Bruce without Amy, and I can't think of Amy without Bruce because these couples are being the examples for us, the church today, of what it means to just try to stay the course, work together, and to be one. Be one for the Lord and serve Him. Pray for them. Pray for these Aquilas and Priscillas. And set your heart on becoming one of them for the welfare of the church and for God's people. And for God, I'm sorry, for God's glory, right? We want to do this all for God's glory. Let me just close in prayer and just give thanks to the Lord. Father, thank you for your goodness to us this evening, for the opportunity to look into your word together, to take this journey of learning about this dear couple. Many applications, many exciting things that we see in their lives. We pray that you would help us as we think about perhaps our own individual lives as singles, Lord. As young people, how we could be one with you, how I could follow their example and know that I'm living a life of purpose, that God is placing me, whether it's a trial or whether I'm being displaced or whatever is happening in my life, you allow these things for me and us to see what you have for us, how we can trust you and hold on to you. It could be something exciting beyond, you know, the other door that you will open for us. And Lord, as husbands and wives, Lord, may we see that together we can serve you with purpose as well. That we could be an example and an encouragement to others, families, assemblies, in serving you together as one. Lord, this world does not have many good examples when it comes to marriage. We understand that the institution of marriage is being, you know, destroyed day by day. I would pray that you would encourage us all, Lord, to be a good examples. We're not perfect in any way, Lord. So please, if we need to be forgiven for something, forgive us. If we need to ask our spouse to forgive us, then let us do that. Let us be reconciled in a way that we can rekindle our lives to serve you. We don't have a lot of time left, Lord God. Help us to be an encouragement to this next generation. To be an example of what it means to be married and serving you in your church today. So thank you for your grace and your love tonight. We pray these things for the honor and glory of the Lord Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Kaz. Amen. Appreciate the thoughts and the word. Thank you for also sharing the maps to understand a lot of the distance they had to cover. That was really helpful.
Amen.
So we will have a little bit of a question and answer time. We really just build this in to allow people to ask questions that might need to be clarified or other things that jog their memory, but it doesn't have to be a lot. Just allow a little bit of time. If people would like to ask, feel free to speak up audibly, or you can send me a message on here and I can ask our brother Kaz. So we'll just maybe leave it open for a few minutes if anyone has any questions or thoughts.
Yeah, if you have any thoughts, maybe an Aquila and a Priscilla that you thought of or something you want to shout out to somebody, or it'd be nice to hear as well, maybe your own personal experience.
I'd like to make a comment. I just unmuted myself. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, you're good.
All right, great. My name is Angel Ortiz. I'm actually Kaz's brother. I don't know if many of you know that here on this channel.
I didn't tell him to say anything. I didn't tell him anything.
And I appreciate to hear his word this evening. We're separated by a few hundred miles. And it's good to, on a Monday night, hear something from God's word in a Bible study format. I really appreciate that. And I think this couple, and thank you for bringing this subject here. I've only known this couple in a really cursory way. I've never really looked into their lives before, but just by this study, you know, they were in harmony with God's will. They were matrimonially in harmony with the Lord, doctrinal harmony, missional harmony, evangelistically focused, discipleship focused, service oriented focus in the church. Just from the verses we read, I did a quick little survey on books on these two people. Very little is written about these two. Most of what we learn from these two are in commentaries. A dedicated book to these, to this couple, I think is lacking, but I really appreciate you bringing this subject because I'm married and going on 18 years, and it definitely has put this idea on the map again for these harmonies to take place, not only matrimonially, but, you know, as it relates to the church. And I also appreciate the fact that you brought out that they were instrumental in that God used them to preserve the life of the Apostle Paul. Because if you go back to some of these letters and when they were written, if we wouldn't have Ephesians, we would not have Ephesians and so forth. So God definitely used this couple instrumentally and in a very big way. And it's good to see that you brought it out in its scope on how the Lord led them through these various parts of Asia Minor. And it's, you know, that's how God is dealing with us as individuals and as couples. So thanks for bringing this subject today.
Amen. Thank you, bro.
And one more thing. I think I saw Mark Colchin on there. Brother Mark, thank you so much. I'm going back now into my younger days. You were pivotal in my growth as a Christian in the Jersey City Grace Gospel Chapel, Jersey City. Thank you for your dedication to the word, your family, and your ministry.
Thanks. Appreciate that.
Thank you, brother. Any other questions or thoughts?
I had just one quick one for Kaz. It's always intrigued me that times that this godly couple were referred to, sometimes it's Aquila and Priscilla, and sometimes it's Priscilla and Aquila, back and forth. And that has always interested me, you know, because they are in a private ministry, their personal ministry. The highlight of their work is, you know, seems to me not a public pulpit ministry. It shows you the power of a couple working together for Christ. But it goes back and forth, and it's just always intrigued me how that is.
Yeah, so in my comment, you know, some of the things I read, it could have been that Priscilla, you know, the fact that maybe she was hospitable and she was kind of the face of the home and, you know, making people comfortable, and she was probably the one that was more, you know, out there, and sometimes, you know, Priscilla was mentioned first, but yeah, it's hard to say, but it's beautiful that they are mentioned together. So yeah, it's pretty cool.
Hey brother, thanks for the ministry. It was very edifying and challenging to me and Dawn. I want to thank you so much.
Amen.
I was looking at another, there was a oneness between the two, between them as a couple and the individual member in the church, Paul, because it says Paul, it was known that Paul could afford to provide for the necessities of those who were with him. It seems his tent making, it says in chapter 20, verse 34, 33 and 34 about Paul said, I've coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel, Yes, you yourselves know that these hands have provided for my necessities and for those who were with me. That's amazing that he could earn enough to provide for the people in his entourage, that he could finance it. And yet he was humble enough to take the hospitality offered to him, like you said in chapter 18, verse 3, so he was of the same trade, he stayed with them. So because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them and worked. For by occupation, they were tent makers. So they were all tent makers. And they, I don't know if they really knew how much he was earning because they traveled separately. But by chapter 20, it was known that Paul was financing this from his own labors. And yet he was humble enough to receive this hospitality. And I met a missionary once who told me that one of the hardest things, one of the hard things in as a missionary living by faith, is to receive the love gifts from time to time. Sometimes they're substantial, and it's a humbling thing, he said to me, that you know, you have pride. But yeah, they were one with also one with Paul. You know.
Amen.
Brother Kaz, just want to thank you, brother, for the unfolding of this great truth and the power of a couple led of this Holy Spirit in sacrifice, in obedience, in submission, in love, in mercy.
Amen.
I'll tell you again, it's interesting. It's almost as if, 31 years in the Lord, I feel like I'm hearing it for the first time tonight. You know, it's just because of the unfolding of it and the dive, the deep dive, and just the full breadth and scope of the power. And again, I think it speaks to the grace of the Lord that,
amen,
entirely, again, that, like you said, this couple has this kind of commendation. This is true for all the Aquilas and Priscillas throughout the world for the past 2,000 years, the unnamed couples who've had great impact in the body of Christ. Praise the Lord, brother. Well done.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Eric. Appreciate it.
Brother Cass, can you hear me?
Yes, Robin.
Hey, how you doing? I've been listening. It was wonderful. You know what I also was thinking as well? I think it was around the line of what's been said already, is that this was an example of a wonderful marriage in the name of the Lord and the power of the Lord, and the two people, Aquila and Priscilla, working together to serve the Lord. And I think about a lot of marriages that don't understand that God sees two people together working for him, maybe in different, sometimes in different occasions, in different circumstances, but still together. And this was what Aquila and Priscilla represented or showed, that they came together and served together the people of God, and you know, whoever they can preach the gospel to. I like the fact that they came and saw what was his name, the one that was made a mistake in his
Apollos.
Apollos, yes. I like the fact that they saw that, and they came together, and they invited him, and they took him aside. And they now, I don't know who exactly, you know, I don't think the Bible mentioned who exactly, you know, corrected him, but they went together and took him aside, meaning that these are two people who had power in the power of the Lord together, and not in other words, you can see that they didn't, you know, the Bible, they understood, and that the Bible doesn't say to bring somebody else down while the other goes up, but in together in their marriage, they worked together, and they had power together.
Amen.
As married individuals. you know,
amen,
in Christ Jesus. And I love that. That speaks to me as a single person, you know, how a man should treat his wife, you know, should see his wife as a godly person, as a partner together with God, you know, as God being in the middle, you know, of that marriage. And I think it's wonderful. I think it's a wonderful, you know, scripture.
I'm glad you were able to be encouraged by it, brother.
Yeah, man, I thought that was wonderful. Thank you, brother.
Amen.
Amen.
Hey, Kaz, you might not know this answer. That's okay. But I was just curious, in your studies, was there any point in time that you came across either commentators or really, I guess, anything that would say that there's been some question about the historical or archaeological, you know, what Aquila and Priscilla did, where they went, anything like that? Or is there support? Have we found some things that kind of support, you know, their move or their names anywhere else? I was just curious.
No, it's a good question.
Time and people question the Bible, obviously. So I was just curious if that has come up ever.
No, it's a good question. In fact, there's a lot. There's actually a lot out there about Aquila and Priscilla. More on the side, not more, but a lot on the Catholicism side, but in archaeology also, because looking at where Pontus is and these types of things. But I actually found a lot of information on Aquila and Priscilla, that they were recognized and that this is a couple. And so I was encouraged by that. So, but to my brother's point, other people, even in my own life, you don't like to string it all together and to see it together and to see how they interacted. I hadn't done that in a while, and it was a blessing to me as I studied it. And I hope it was to you all as well. But yeah, there's a lot out there. And in the Word, there's a lot, which is great.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Thank you. Any other questions?
Hey, Bruce.
Yeah. Oh, this is Jim Cagliostro, Fifth Avenue.
Oh, Jim.
Chapel,
hey, Jim.
How's it going, Kaz? Tell me more just from your own personal experience. I'd be curious. As far as I know, Aquila and Priscilla, you know, there's no mention of children. And, you know, obviously, you know, we're at a stage in life where the children are young. And a lot of the ministry does end up being me going and serving in whatever way and Lisa, you know, taking care of the kids or vice versa, whatever the case might be.
Right.
Either from your own personal experience or from a biblical perspective. How do you balance that? Like, I love the example of Aquila and Priscilla and seeing that they're working, they're serving together, they're encouraging, they're correcting Apollos together. You know, how do you approach that biblically? Or do you recognize that, hey, there is a time where the roles might look a little different?
As far as what in a child?
In terms of like husband and wife serving together, where, you know, a lot of times Lisa feels like, not that she's trapped, but, you know, it's so much with the kids where it feels like that's her life right now, but she's doing that so that the husband is able to go and serve more in the ministry end.
Gotcha. Yes. I've always said, good question, good thought. I've always said, as I minister to different people in our own chapel, you know, when I see a husband and wife, whether they're doing different things, not different things, but doing work for their own home, like rearing their children, going to work, not necessarily preaching or doing Sunday school together, right? That's their ministry. Their ministry is the home. Their ministry is to bring up their children and the things of the Lord. Their ministry is, as a husband, to lead and guide and to support his family if he's working and if she's working. The fact that, oh, I feel like, you know, I'm not serving or I'm not doing this, I'm not doing that. And in fact, you really are. As a husband and wife, you're together, and as a marriage, you're establishing a wonderful and beautiful example of what a Christian couple should be in bringing up your children, in serving, in coming out to the meeting, in worshiping the Lord. That consistency, we may see the mundane things of life. No, they are you serving her, she's serving you. That in and of itself is a ministry. So, you know, I would encourage anyone, if it's a sister or a brother who may feel like, oh, I'm just with the kids, or I'm not really what I need to be because I'm home doing this. brother, sister, you are serving the Lord. You are serving him in a way that he has called you to be the best mother that you can be, and as a husband, the best husband you can be. So those are my quick thoughts on that.
Thanks, Cass. Yeah, I was just speaking with, it was a wife and a mother last week, and the kids are at a point where she was kind of, you know, the kids were at home, the youngest one was at home, and she was debating to put them into, you know, a Christian preschool that they really trust, because she kept seeing opportunities for ministry that she really had a burden for. And so they did make the decision to use some preschool so that she could minister to some of the women in the church. But
that's creative. You know, that's good.
Yeah. 5 years from now, it might look different, but I appreciate your answer and your wisdom there. Thank you.
Yeah. Amen. Bruce Holshizer, I think you're going to say something.
Yeah. So one thought, I've had joy seeing in Romans 16 in the Greek, the word translated "next" by most translation is actually singular in the Greek. So they risk their own neck. It's as if they only had one neck. That's pretty amazing. Right?
That's cool.
That's a beautiful oneness there. But a question for you that Robin's comment sparked in my mind. Is like, if you think of Priscilla and Aquila both being healthy enough in the Lord, and you had pointed that out, appreciated that, that they're able to minister, you know, that both of them would have intelligence in the scriptures and discernment, etc. Give me like practical thoughts even in nurturing that mutually, right? That the husband is nurturing his wife to be developing in the Lord, and the wife nurturing her husband, that they're both developing in the Lord. I wonder even what your 30 years of practice has been between you and Rosie, even some practical ways that you've, you know, been able to keep developing in a healthy way.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, let me tell you, let me first say that I am not the man that I need to be in that regard. Isn't that interesting, right? You know, we know what we ought to be doing, and yet we're not doing it as consistently. Right. So I'm just sharing my heart here, because to your point, it is a ministry to be able to nurture, as Ephesians 5 says, right, to nurture and to encourage your wife in a way that she is being brought along as your faith, as you're learning, you're growing, and you're sharing that with her, so that together you're learning together in that. I think that as husbands, we need to be more proactive and intentional in doing that. I think it gets away from us sometimes in the busyness of life, but I think a takeaway from us, dear brother, is that I haven't been as consistent, and I want to get there, but I think it is a tremendous ministry that we do that we're able to minister to each other in a way that we're both growing in the Lord, and that it means personal devotions, it means prayer together as a couple, because that brings us, you know, where we need to be and what is the Lord's will for me. Right? What does he want me to do? If we're not together or even praying, how am I going to know where he wants me to minister to? And I think Aquila and Priscilla, they were so in tune with the Lord. So I think what you're saying is a great encouragement for all of us as husbands and wives to come back to that oneness, come back to that being in tune. Yes, Lord, this is my role. I need to be doing this. Lord, help me.
Hey, Kaz?
Yes.
You guys are making me think. I know I've heard, I'm pretty sure I've heard Mark teach on it, about the family dynamic when the husband goes out, or if the wife goes out and the husband stays home. It reminded me right away about the tired men after David had a battle. The men turned around. They saw that they had been robbed of their women and children back home, and David wanted to go back and get them, but some were too tired, and he said, let the ones that are tired stay here. They still share in their booty, you know, of the battle, just because they can't finish it, you know, the whole action, which is get back our families, because they had won the battle with the Amalekites. I think it was the Amalekites. But yeah, so whoever stays home watching the children, the reward is shared, you know?
Yeah, amen.
So, yeah.
Good application. One.